last night and even this morning, if there's two things you can remember, one is you don't have a history.
No.
Now, I think if everyone could just wipe out all their preconceived notions about anything and just realize that even from just a mental sense, which we don't want to use the mind, but even just from a mental sense, it makes sense that history isn't real. It's just stored up in your brain.
Yeah.
I mean, that's simple. So now if we can take that one step further and realize that the memories of your history is what produces your identity.
Yeah.
Well, you can't be your memories. You can't. That's simple. It's really simple. All the ideas we've had about ourselves come from the experience of our history and our belief systems. That can't be you, because it's not going to make it, folks. You're not going to take that into the next dimension. I'm just telling you right now. Aunt Susie isn't waiting up there to have a party with you when you leave this realm. Now, that can create a little bit of anxiousness and a little bit of sadness, maybe, but it's all because we're hanging on to this too tightly. Okay? All I can tell you is that it's just going to blow the hell out of you. It's going to be so amazing. And just, I think probably one of the things we talked about yesterday that really bring into focus the idea that there's no judgment is nobody's waiting for anybody on the other side to get them once they get there because they committed some kind of atrocity here. It just wipes everything clean. Now, when you can enter that kind of consciousness now, you begin to experience the death of identity. And just those simple words, you can just sort of feel how sort of foolish it is.
Yeah.
Just like the way Robert just shish kebabbed and tormented Abrahamic religions this morning. Using the Bible.
Yeah.
Using it, their own book.
Yeah.
To say this stuff is stupid.
Yeah.
And here we've grown up with religious beliefs in a puny little God that's supposed to be watching you, that's based on a book that was written by all of the people that wrote it had a God. And that's why it's not pure. Okay, that's the reason it's not pure. Now, if you read it and understand it in that light, it's accurate. It's certainly accurate in the context of what we know, which everyone that wrote a book in there had a God. And so if you want to talk about pureness and unconditional love, nobody knew what it was. And you can even go in and read Corinthians and Paul and read about love, and I'm telling you that that's not unconditional love. That's conditional love.
Right.
If you've got any list of things that you're supposed to do because you're loving, it's conditional. I mean, it's a good idea. And I love what Malcolm Smith used to say all the time, you know, is that the Bible's just an emergency brake so people don't kill each other. You know, that's all it is.
That's a good one.
Although it led to a lot of deaths.
Yeah.
But it's all religiosity. It's all mind-formed concepts about something that's not reality. So now, pure reality is only something you're going to see when we come out of having our eyes locked on the appearances. So as long as we remain with our eyes locked on the appearances, which is just your opinion of what's going on in the world, okay, which I'm just telling you ain't worth a shit. Nobody's opinion of what's going on out there means anything.
That's right.
Because there's 5 billion of them, okay? Right. So you think there's, well, there's 40,000 different denominations, okay? 40,000, I thought 4,000 was a lot. There's 40,000 different sects of Christianity, Islam, Judaism. You put the Catholics in there, I put those sort of under Christianity, although when we grew up in our church, we always said the Catholics were lost.
Yeah.
We didn't say they were part of Christianity, our group. We didn't associate with those people. But while we remain locked with our eyes on the appearances, seeing ourselves as separate individuals, we live in a state of dreaming. And that's what we're talking about this weekend. We want to come out of the state of dreaming. Why is it a state of dreaming? Because it's all based on belief systems that never were true. In that dream state, all of our attempts to make our lives work to obtain liberation are neutralized. Now, why is that? Because we're living in a circle. We're living on a wheel that is continually, what is it doing, repeating itself over and over and over again. How many times have you got up and said, here we go with another day of the same thing? And even the mind gets bored with that. But over and over again, and we don't realize that we're dreaming based on these historical belief systems. That's the dream. That we've got these belief systems that are creating this realm that's, if your memory was gone, they would all be gone. And where would you be? You'd still be there. You wouldn't have left. We need just royal shock treatment. But it wouldn't be a bad thing if we had some kind of machine and everybody could hook up to it and just wipe their memory out. That wouldn't be a bad thing.
No.
I'm telling you now, that wouldn't be a bad idea. Maybe that's what we start, you know? The religion of memory zapping. Because without your memory, you couldn't judge one thing. And what does that tell you?
Oh, that's true.
It's all coming from what you've been taught in your experience your whole life. And that can't be reality. I'm not saying none of it wasn't good or bad or whatever. I'm not saying that. I'm not discounting it. I'm just saying you can't base your belief systems on that. Because it's ever changing and everyone's different. That's what I'm saying. And because of that, it's not reality. It was real to you, but your story about your identity isn't reality. So, within this timeless eternity, a dream of individuality arises in which the self, what you think you are, and time come into being together. So, I mean, I don't want to keep talking about scripture, but I mean, this is the account that identity rose up. And where does that come from? What does it talk about when you're looking at the tree of good and evil? Well, really, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is your judgment of the world.
It is.
This world is a picture of good and evil, isn't it? If you look at it,
yeah,
and you comment on it, I mean, you're going to just not say anything about it? Mm-hmm. But people, I go in, and I know Dana sent me an email. She says, oh, everybody will love the meetings, and they'll all say amen and get all excited, and then they'll go back to exalting their God again.
Yeah.
It's so sad. It's so sad that we can't see through this mirage of having some kind of figurehead that somehow is working with this, when if we're just honest, even on that level, it never worked.
Yeah.
It never worked anyway. Robert said when we were down in the Doris Red Wines, he, I don't know how many people you prayed for healing out of 134 and only one got it. So the other 133 times it didn't work. Well, I'm giving up on that guy. If he's that deaf, it doesn't work because it's not real. There is nobody watching you. Well, let's see what he does today.
Yeah.
Let's see how high his prayers get today. We'll see if we do it today, or maybe not, or maybe we will. What a relief, I'm telling you, to get out of all that bullshit. Because that's what it is. It's just... It's such a failure, even of itself, it's such a failure. Even if you're there and you think it's real, it's failed. I mean, if there's some kind of God out there and all these people can't even get food in Africa, isn't that a failure? Huh? Just that alone. So now, as this dream of individuality rises up in the sense of passing time, because they go together. When you think that there's a you, it's got to have a history to come up with this concept of what you are. It comes and has to have a history. That history isn't something that happens like this. It's happened what? Over a course of time. But there is no time. Now, again, if we just get real simple about it, everybody knows history and a future aren't real. Everybody sort of knows that already. Yeah, you're right, you know, but off we go, exalting our God again in our history books. And where's the history book? It's just the book of your mind. It's your story in this world. That's what it is. So this great game begins, and it's a game, and from this is what arises all the joys and sorrows, the gifts and burdens of being what? A separate person. As long as you've got these kinds of feelings, you feel separate from something. You don't feel connected. It's quite a hell of a burden to feel this way. And so religion comes in and tries to prop it up, and we play the game, and we're hoping to get a little crumb,
yeah,
you know, from something.
A little blessing.
Yeah. Enough just to keep us going long enough to wish and to hope for tomorrow. So never, as long as you've got these concepts and understandings, if you have a history, your history automatically projects right by the present moment. There's no chance of you ever living in the present moment if you have a history that you think is real. Absolutely no chance.
That's good. That's scary.
Because it's always projecting. Tomorrow will be better. Tomorrow I'll get this. Or tomorrow I'll get that, which will fix what's all screwed up from what's happened to me. And it's what we're talking about here is just a rat wheel. It's just this cage that we're trapped in. And nobody ever experiences real lasting peace. So time ends when self-consciousness ends. Time ends when identity ends. So, why am I saying that? Time ends when self-consciousness ends. When there is no concept of a you, and there's not a worry over you, and there's not trouble, and there's not all of this anxiety about a you, what happens doesn't matter anymore.
to,
huh? What happens just doesn't matter. And it's the only place that the flow of unconditional love can begin to be experienced, is in this place of timelessness. It's the only place. So unconditional love, now, I'm talking unconditional love. I almost don't want to use the word love, because when we screw the word love on there, it's got too many meanings. You've got to, love, unconditional love isn't something that's nice. It's not something that's bad either.
Right.
Okay? Unconditional love sees everything as whole. It sees everything as complete. It sees everything as full. Right now. And always. And out from that flows everything. What it looks like doesn't matter. But unconditional love embraces both the positive and negative and sees them as one. And so here's what's a huge benefit about all of that, is that whatever the hell's going on, you don't have to take it personal. It's not because you screwed something up. Nothing's happening to you because you did this or that wrong in your past. Now that, to me, when that really overtook me, it was such a relief to me. It just delivered me from a lot of bullshit, I'm just telling you. It was like a huge balloon got a hole punctured in it, and just, I'm just landing, really. I've never made a mistake. Nope. And you never will.
Nope. That's freedom.
Now, conditional love can't accept that. Doesn't accept that.
No. So that's where your mistakes.
That's where the religions have come out of. So, time ends when self-consciousness ends. When there's no longer a concern about this identity that you have of yourself. And I remember saying once in one of the messages is that the only person, the only enemy you have is the person you think you are. It's the only enemy.
Yep.
What you really are is unconditional love expressing itself all the time. And you've got nothing to do with it. You don't create it or cause it. You're not to fault or to blame for anything. Amen. Yeah. But we can't trust it, can we? The mind can't trust that. That nothing is ever out of order. And never has been. The mind won't trust it. It judges the fucking hell out of it. Whoops. Sorry. I dropped the F-bomb there. I tried to limit that one. Ken likes it.
Sarah can't slap him on number 20.
But listen, there's another place, if you can just contemplate this a little bit. Time ends every night when we go to sleep. We talked about that last night. You don't go anywhere. But I don't know how many times I've had an ache or my kneecap's hurting and this ankle's hurting and I got a pain in my back and I think, well, I'm going to have kidney failure or it's cancer. Or, you want to know what? I'll wake up in the morning and it's all gone.
Yeah. Miracle.
Isn't that something? Well, what happened? My brain got flushed of all the bullshit.
Yeah.
That's what happened. That's why Chinese medicine is so successful. You come into a Chinese doctor, you got cold, they get a hammer out and hit your kneecap as hard as you can. Oh, you have no cold no more. Your knee hurts though, doesn't it, huh? You have a sore knee, but your cold is gone. $50. So, the only thing that your enemy is your own mind. That's why it's called the devil. That's why it's called the serpent. That's why it's called Satan. When Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan," or when he said, the devil comes but has nothing in me. Well, it wasn't some little guy with a pitchfork that come up and chased him around in a circle. Huh? That wasn't what it was. But if you think Jesus didn't struggle with this stuff as a man, he did.
He did.
He struggled with all of it.
Yeah.
And his identity died. And he didn't die for you. You've got to go through the same experience to realize what eternal, unconditional life is. You have to go through the same experience for you to be set free from what? Your idea you have of yourself. That's what you need to be set free from. You can no longer have any concepts of what you think you are or should be. Because nothing's out of order. You can't be any more perfect than you are right now because there's no you to be perfect. Yeah.
No self helps.
Oh, you're so funny. You're good.
I'll have you come up here and do hand language and stuff, and you can help me, you know, with this. So every night when we go to sleep, time ends. At physical death, time ends. It's the end of the person. Now, do you remember when we talked about incorporeality?
Mm-hmm.
We talked about what you really are, that you're a light being? That energy, that light being that you are, is never going to end. And I still love the movie Lucy, and I keep bringing it up, because at the end of the movie was so wonderful, because she showed up as a message in the guy's phone and said, "I'm everywhere."
Yeah.
Now, if we're one, and there's no separation, right, and unconditional love is omnipresent, there can be nowhere where you're not. But it's just not who you think you are. That's what you've got to realize. Any thoughts that come to you about who you think you are either good or evil.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had enough of that?
Yeah.
No? You guys still like it? Yeah, okay, good. Sarah loves it. She's still up to it.
Sarah keep going through it.
Yeah, Sarah's into it. She's still got to blowtorch your hair a few more times.
Looks beautiful. Always beautiful.
Yeah.
So listen, this concept of time is created by the mind.
Right in front of you.
So there appear to be events happening, and the mind wants an explanation for this. Okay? Now this is going to be hard, what I'm going to start to share with you, because I'm going to turn it up a little bit, okay? This is the wheel. This is the rat race that the mind is on. The mind is always trying to solve a non-existent problem, which it has invented based on belief systems that aren't true. But I'm going to say that again.
Yeah.
Because this is the heart of the problem. The mind is always trying to solve non-existent problems which it has invented based on belief systems that are not true. You're not a belief system.
Yeah.
Hello? But your concept you have of yourself is a belief system.
Yeah.
Well, then I just poke a hole in that thing and wipe your memory out and you're gone then. You disappear, but you'd still be here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You can't get more perfect, Steve. Because there's no you that needs to be perfect. Mm-hmm. That's something? Yeah? Connie? Yvonne? Sally? Miranda? Yeah? Robert? Sarah? You can't get more perfect.
I know.
Oh my God. We're still working on you a little bit. At least you gave the right answer.
She said yes. She knows. She's right on. So funny.
But what a relief it is to find out that all this identity business is a dream. It's a dream. You're not locked into anything. You haven't made a mistake. I don't know how many times I used to wake up when I was in the building business, and I'm telling you, it was way, way harder than the lighting business. You know about construction. You go, I would sell a home to someone, and I was married to them for a year. And if they weren't nice people, it was hell. And guess what? Not all of them were nice people. I'm just telling you. I had a few people that I built houses for, and they were determined right from the beginning they weren't going to pay me. Mm-hmm. When it got to the end, and when we got to the end, guess what? They didn't pay me. Mm-hmm. Well, that's no fun. Mm-hmm. To be tormented for a year and then not get paid. Mm-hmm. You might as well just sit home. And it put me out of business at the end, in the end. So I really want you to just think about this. When the concept of time ends, it's when the self-consciousness ends. If you're no longer concerned or worried or have any cares about what might happen tomorrow, passing time can start to disappear because what? You're not in a hurry anymore. Trying to blaze out into the future, which you can't do anyway. I gave a picture, you know, a while back of sort of like us being inside this big ball. And this is timelessness, right? And we're trying to beat our way out of it all the time. But you can't get very far. You can hit it and create a little bump, but you're not going anywhere. Right. That's what it's like to live on this wheel, this rat race of thinking that I'm someone special. Well, that's just his desire to be God. If there's no you, there's nobody special. We're not any different. And what's beautiful about that is we're just not any different than anybody else. If you're somebody special, that means you're above everyone. And there just isn't no such thing. If we're all one and there's only one, there can't be anything special.
Right.
Now, I've been tempted to get on the short bus now and then because I felt like I needed to, you know. But that was because I didn't think I was somebody special.
Right.
So the mind is what creates this appearance of time. Wow. Trying to solve a non-existent problem that isn't true. That's a rat race. That's being stuck on a wheel. So now Dana had sent me some beautiful truth. I want to share just a little bit of what she said. She said, if there's no you to live or control anything within time and space, there can be no false identity that exists within the mind. She just said the same thing in her own words, what I just shared with you. If there's no you to live or control anything within time or space, there can be no false identity that exists within the mind. There is only the absolute truth of what is, only life. There would be no judgment of any kind, and there would be no God. If you're complete and full and have everything, what do you need somebody else for? If in every moment you realize, I'm complete and full, because that's what life is. It's always complete and full. There's no end to it. Dean said, in all of creation, it's only the mind of man that has a God. Dog doesn't have a God. The moose doesn't have a God. And they're free. That's tough to swallow, isn't it? Mm-hmm. That's why when the body dies, so does the God of the mind. So see, this God we've had is just really a brain God. Just something that we've created to try to satisfy all of these unwanted and undesirable things in our life that we're trying to get rid of. Never thankful, never grateful, never satisfied. Because if life's always complete and full and it's always this, then it's never lacking anything. So because there's only life in all its fullness, there can be no other life and no better life. All those things are future. All those things are projections. So we don't have a life. Life simply unfolds in every moment without any effort on your part. That should be good news.
Yeah.
Huh? Spontaneous life? How about trying that?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
How about just sitting and relaxing and just seeing what comes to you? Just see what's brought to you and just enjoying it, whatever it is. Now, I can admit, you know, sometimes it isn't fun. Diane and I went through some things this summer and it wasn't fun at all. But at every moment, I was satisfied to know that that's what was meant, and that what was right. Okay, in that moment, no matter what it was, it doesn't mean we think in our mind that it should be better than this. But it's because we're never satisfied ever. We have that concept; it just comes from never being satisfied, and thankful and grateful. Maybe for a fleeting second in an email or a Facebook post, but it doesn't last long because there's this cloud sitting back there judging us. It's sort of a cloud of dissatisfaction that sort of follows us around. Just, no, it's not quite right. It isn't quite enough.
It's sad.
Yeah, it is sad. Papa John. I love this guy. He's another guy that's great. Eastern guy. Came out of the religion of Hinduism. Okay? I'm telling you, the Buddhists and the Hindus are so much closer to truth than Christianity could ever dream of being.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly because they almost never talk about a God. Almost never.
Or the future.
So Papa John says, step aside and see how step aside and see how effortlessly and efficiently life functions without you.
Oh. That's a fear.
That is all that's required to see things clearly. Step aside and see how effortlessly and efficiently life functions without you. That is all that's required to see things clearly. He just summed up everything I've said in two little sentences. Mm-hmm. Step aside. Be still. Be quiet. Don't let your mind race ahead of you 10 miles.
Right.
Looking for something that's not even there. Worrying about something that hasn't even happened yet. I want to step a little bit on one of my pet peeves right now, so I'm going to digress just a little bit. But I had a question on Facebook that said, could you have lived many lifetimes? And I hate to use this language, but I despise the inference of reincarnation and karma. Mm-hmm. I just despise it. I mean, if you believe in karma, you might as well just crack open the Old Testament and start reading the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
because that's what it is.
It is.
And somehow your karma is going to make you have to come back and do this all over again. Well, if there's no you, there's nothing to do over again. Is there?
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
So, this guy said, could you have had many lifetimes? And I said, since there's no self that can live or experience many lifetimes, there is only life in all of its fullness. It has nothing to do with what we think we are or could ever be, because there is no such thing as passing time. So there cannot be many lifetimes. There's only life expressing itself all the time. There can't be many lifetimes. All there is life, and it's always expressing itself in this, right now. And it's full, it's complete, it doesn't need anything. And it does it without you. Oh, you're kidding me.
Wow.
Huh? It's happening with or without you. But if there's a with you, you're just ahead of it, far enough so you can't enjoy it. See? Because we're projecting. We're projecting all the time. And you can't enjoy it. I'm telling you. Hello? Yeah. It just happens naturally when we're processing things and basing it off the mind concepts we have of ourselves. That's just what happens. So you couldn't have many lifetimes because there's no self that can live or experience many lifetimes, because there's only life in all of its fullness. It has nothing to do with what we think we are or could ever be, because there's no such thing as passing time, so there can't be many lifetimes. There's only life. So since there's no history or future, no one could come back from anything or go to anything. All there is this, right now. It's complete, full, and never-ending. And it never went anywhere, and it will never go anywhere. Boy, that Facebook post is right on to what we're sharing today. The real you can't go anywhere. It's eternal. And it's eternally now. It's not eternally someday. You can't have a lifetime that's going to come to you in the future. There's only life. And it's ever present in this reality right now. And it never goes anywhere. So we could go back to Papa Jay and say, just step back and watch how effortlessly and efficiently life runs without you. And it's just sort of full of surprises then. You just sort of sit there and say, well, maybe with Robert, he'll have some beef cattle next time we see him, you know. He's got chickens and horses and gooses and dogs. And probably got a cat, too, don't you? You got a barn cat.
He's got a rescue cat.
He's going to have a damn farm down there before you know it. Got to clean out the woods, you know, create some pasture land.
That's what we need to do.
Or get some hay brought in, you know, get you a bale of hay brought in.
That's what we need.
So I talked some more about this on another Facebook post that lines right up with this, which really helps sort of confirm, build up what we're talking about. Absolute truth does not divide, but it does not recognize humanity as real. We are not human beings. We are expressions of unconditional love that exists outside of passing time. And therefore, we cannot be what happens to us. That's a huge relief. When something happens to us, we think the foot's dropping. What did I do? You said that this morning. Why did I deserve this? Nobody deserves anything. It's not personal. That's a huge, huge relief of guilt.
Yeah.
You didn't do something that's making God up there kick you in the ass. Huh? It's not your fault. There's no you. Huh? Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Whoops. I better raise my hands. Jesus
Amen.
Did it. Jesus did it. No one is born and no one dies. We say that a lot. But there's not really been a lot of clarity to that, and I want to just sort of clear it up for you a little bit more about what does that really mean? Because our mind can't comprehend what that is. Our mind doesn't understand anything, but believing my mom said I came out of the womb. I was the first one out, and I was so screwed up because they didn't do C-sections back then. And when I come out, I was a blue conehead. Because my mom was so small, they had to pull me out with forceps. I still have the scars behind my ears.
Wow.
And to get started, it was tough.
Yeah.
And my dad said he bawled his eyes out when he first looked at me. Oh my God, it's a Martian. And about 2 days later, the nurses got me and started massaging my head and stuff, you know, and got it all back into shape, and I ended up looking like this, you know. I'm not sure that's good or not, you know, but this is it. That's all you get, okay, right here.
It works.
So no one is born and no one dies. So this statement's been made by countless people over the years, but little meaning has been given and clarity about this, okay? And so hopefully this helps clear it up for you. True life can only be eternal by its own definition. We are that expression of life appearing as unconditional love on the earth. The life that we are has no beginning, so it can have no end. It's what? Perpetually manifesting itself every moment. It's always new. It's always fresh. It isn't coming from anywhere. The life that we are has no beginning, so it can have no end. It's all there is. And it is always present in everything all the time. Because it is always everything all the time, it cannot be something that is owned or controlled by a yours or a mine. Because it's everything. That can't be controlled. That's why there's no God out there. There's no God trying to control a something here and something there. And maybe this, but he won't do that, and he doesn't do this. That's as insane as what Robert shared with us this morning out of the Old Testament. It's probably more insane to think there's some being watching you and he decides, maybe she did it right. And okay, I'll sprinkle a little dust on her, you know. Yeah. I'll give her $10.
That's sick.
I'm serious.
It's really sick theory.
It's sick. It's totally sick. Unconditional love is everything. It's bigger than 1,000 gods. It's bigger than 1,000,000 gods. It's everything all the time. It's not something that does something to somebody because it is everything. So it's not part of something. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not part of something. If you got a God, you got a God that's part of something. And our puny little brains are deciding when God's working and when he's not. So it's just all a control game. So because life is everything all the time, it cannot be something that is owned or controlled by a yours or a mine. It goes beyond a sense of personal identity. And so this place that's without a sense of passing time does not dwell in a past future sense of consciousness. You can rest in this and let the continual questions that come from the concept of separation go back to where they came from. So, we're back to good old Nisargadatta Maharaji. I love that Maharaj. I like saying that. I can say it right too, Maharaj. He says, what is birth and death but the beginning and the ending of a stream of events and consciousness? Because of the idea of separation and limitation, they are painful. Momentary relief from pain we call pleasure. And so we build castles in the air, hoping for endless pleasure, which we call happiness. It is all a misunderstanding and misuse. He says, wake up and go beyond all the foolishness. All there is this, right now. This is everything, and it's all you're going to get.
Tonight.
Right now. You're not going to get any more. And if we can step back, as Papaji said, and just watch life unfold, 90% of the stress in your life is just going to disappear. Mm-hmm. Just step back and watch it. And enjoy the moment. Have a cup of tea. Eat a piece of cake. There's actually a book that's got that title. I better get it to you.
Thank you.
It says, have tea, eat cake. And something?
Yeah.
But what's he saying? It's just shut the hell up and relax.
Mm-hmm. That's
okay. Have some cake. Chocolate with double chocolate icing on it. And some walnuts.
Want a cigar?
A cigar and some scotch. That's my favorite, but I gotta be careful. I don't want to incite a riot or anything. My wife will have a fit if I start promoting that. I'd love to just sit and smoke cigars with all you people. And I love it when chicks smoke cigars.
Sarah smokes packs.
Yeah.
That's not gonna happen. My niece will, but.
Yeah, that's right. Her niece smoked with me. That was fun. So I want to just bring up again a little bit yesterday what we talked about. That's a key to your liberation. That's a key that will set you free. Because we understood that it's at death that liberation comes to us. Not after death. Okay? That can happen right now without you getting out of your chair. You don't have to do a thing except realize that your identity that you call you is an illusion. It's not real. Our expression of ourselves comes from unconditional love, and it will return to unconditional love. And you've got nothing to say about it and nothing to do about it. Now in the appearance realm, you think you're mighty God and you control things. I'm telling you right now, you don't control shit.
That's true.
And if you've been around very long, you know that's true.
Yes.
It might have taken you a few years, but you finally said, what in the hell? This isn't what I wanted at all. It didn't work out the way I had planned. Well, hello? Huh?
Didn't you just go with the flow?
So death is the end of the dream of time and a you. There is no after death. There's just one. And there's an obscure verse in scripture that says, when you partake of the first death, the second death won't get your ass. Mm-hmm. Right, Robert?
Yeah.
Is that in Revelation? Where is that? You don't need to look it up. But
Romans or Revelation?
Yeah, okay. It's one of Paul or John. Exciting news. If we die before we die, the second death won't harm you.
Right.
Because you know the moment you quit breathing, the tsunami's going to hit you. That says there's no such thing as death.
Yes.
Why? Because your memory will be gone. Where does death reside? Exactly. It's all in your mind. That's something. I mean, think about it now. If you didn't know shit and were laying in a bed with a tube down your throat, you come up and said, you're going to die. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Who would know what it is? Huh? I mean, it might not be fun. Stuff, when I had a blowout in my belly button. I had this big hernia. It was ugly. I had to get it fixed because I want to look good in my what is it that I wear?
Your Borat suit?
My thong. I got a full-length body thong that's fluorescent orange. I mean, I'm telling you, I look good. But I had this blowout in my hernia, my belly button. It was pretty damn ugly. So I had to go in and get that thing fixed because we went down to Florida and I was going to be out on the beach. Does it look good?
In an orange thong.
Oh, brother.
Huh?
On the beach in an orange thong?
Exactly.
It's actually lime green.
Yeah, excuse me, lime green.
Oh, why?
So we went down a few years back with my... We went down a few years back with my staff, and they gave it to me as an honorary gift after we watched the movie Borat, which was a disgusting movie, by the way. I went out into the ocean. I had that thing with me. I put it on, and then I held my swimming trunks up and started running back towards everybody. I thought they'd all scream and run, and they went after their cameras. So they caught me. I stopped before I got too high, because it wasn't covering everything. I think my junk was hanging out or something, so I couldn't keep going. Anyway. What the hell's that got to do with it?
Which is fun.
Yep.
So talking about death, and you had surgery, and you got put under the knife and under anesthesia.
Yeah.
Get rid of the hernia.
So what was Jesus talking about when he said you've got to lose your life to find it? Huh? Hello?
Your identity.
This is it. This is it. You must lose your idea of life to know what real life is. You must. So now I'm gonna not everybody get out of their lunch sleep. I see people are starting to fade off on me a little bit. Yeah.
This one happens. It's warm.
Because I want you to pay attention to this next thing. If you're not paying close attention, I'm gonna piss you off.
All
right. I'd rather not piss you off. Okay.
Let me see. The other side, Robert.
So, timelessness. Think about that. Get that?
Imagine.
Timelessness. Unconditional love only flows out of a place of timelessness without judgment. If you're in a place of timelessness, there can be no judgment of anything. As soon as you start to judge something, you've got to stop and do a recall and bring up a bunch of shit, project it out, and start bitching. Huh? That doesn't come from timelessness. That
That's
comes
right.
from your memory.
That's right. History.
Okay? That's not timelessness, okay? Just to let you know. All right? So, a timeless place where unconditional love is birthed from, without judgment, totally free, totally full, totally complete, in need of nothing. That's where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And all there is this. That's all there is. That's all you're going to get, okay?
Right.
Now that's pretty cool, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That's really quite a bit.
Right.
Okay? Everything, all the time. That's all there is. It's this. It didn't come from anywhere, and it's not going anywhere. Right? Huh? It didn't come from anywhere, and it's not going anywhere. It's always this.
Yeah.
Just a perpetual, no. It didn't come from anywhere, and it's not going anywhere.
Hmm.
Because it didn't come from anywhere, it could have never been created. Hmm. Hello? You touched on it this morning.
That would require a PA.
That's right. You touched on it this morning. Thank you for helping me warm the pots a little bit, because you did talk about that a little bit this morning. Now listen, that's hard to swallow.
Yeah.
Because it did not come from anywhere, it could never have been created. Why? Because that's past tense.
It's history.
I'm sorry, but there was no beginning. In the beginning was God, and as Dean says, all hell broke loose. What was that talking about the beginning? The beginning of passing time is what it's a story about when time began. I'm telling you right now, as far as I'm concerned, this earth never wasn't here.
Yeah.
There's no beginning and no end. But we've been brought up, Jesus is coming back, and the apocalypse is coming, and Armageddon's going to happen. And I studied all that stuff so much, I ended up just puking one day. I got so sick over it. Pre-trib and mid-trib and post-trib and amillennialism, and I wrote little books on it. This really is a bunch of bullshit, I finally realized, you know?
The left behind series. Yeah, the left behind. Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was spring.
There can be no creator or created way back at the beginning of time that did something to you. Mm-hmm. Because passing time does not exist. We know there's no past and future. Hello? Mm-hmm. Come on now. Don't be arguing with me. There's no past or future. Come on, I got you all to admit it just a little while ago. Okay? It's quite a shock, though, to realize you weren't created by something. What's that say about what happened 2,000 years ago? Whew, I'm not even going to go there. We'll save that.
Yeah.
Don't step on your Jesus yet, huh?
You have hell, you have hell. Leave Jesus alone.
Oh my gosh.
Today.
A past and a future, guys, is just a projection in your mind. That's the only place it exists. Okay? The only place. All there is timeless, unconditional love. That's all there is. So there can be no author, creator, or director. Why? Because everything flows out of this eternal now. We're not in a time zone. I'm sorry. It says Eastern time zone, but there is no such thing as passing time. It's hard to swallow, isn't it? Because, man, we're stepping on a sacred cow there. That's a big one. We know there's a no past and future. Come on.
Yeah.
Amen. Okay, there's some amens.
Yeah.
I'd probably just about anybody on the street to agree with that after just a couple minutes of talking with them. Okay? So I'm holding you to it. Okay? There's no such thing as yesterday, is there?
Or tomorrow.
Or tomorrow. There's no such thing. So just let that sit for a while. It'll come to you. Okay, I got to scroll down because I'm going to skip one part of it. Going to put in there, but we'll wait. I need something for next time. So now, I'm going to step on the huge sacred cow a little bit. Once a concept of a God enters your mind, who is irredeemably separate from humankind, it's out there, develops as in all the forms of Abrahamic religion. we have entered a completely dualistic cosmology.
Yeah.
A universe full of dualism.
Yeah.
We've been raised up in it. Yeah. And it's hard to shake, I gotta admit.
It is.
When I finally realized there was no God out there, I was fearful.
Yeah.
Well, that proved to me that it was true. The fact that I was fearful proved to me that it was true. Why would I be afraid of a loving God that's not supposed to harm you?
Exactly.
Huh? So why was I afraid? Because there's no such being. It's all a lie. I remember hugging Dean's neck when we were down at Miss Doris's one night. The first message we had is, there's no God. You better listen to it. And after we got done, I was afraid. Well, why? Because God was chasing my ass for years when I grew up. And I just, it hasn't, the feeling of that hasn't quite shaken off yet. Although I know for sure it's not a reality. I've been teaching against it for 2 years.
Yeah.
Why would I be afraid of a loving God?
Exactly.
Because there is no such thing. There isn't a hateful one either. That's good. So what happens? Our whole universe becomes a different picture because of that bullshit. Doesn't it? How could you lay naked and just enjoy the stars if God's waiting to strike you dead the next day because you played with yourself? Now that Roberts influenced me a little bit. I touched myself in an unholy way. God's going to strike me.
And since we're all one, you can touch another person. It's like touching yourself.
Exactly. Exactly.
Don't try.
Just you girls don't be grabbing another guy's ball when you get in a fight, okay? Because you're going to get, you'll be killed.
Yeah.
Oh, you'll die. You'll go outside the village and stone to death.
They'll kill you.
Yeah. They'll kill you.
That's scripture.
They'll kill your ass. So now stay with me now. The whole picture of our universe is perverted by this stuff.
Yeah, it is.
And you know what? You can't enjoy it. Because there's this cloud there. This cloud of fear and judgment that just isn't quite gone. And if we just find our honesty, we just come to grips with our honesty and quit playing games, you know, it's true. Why play games with this stuff, guys? Huh? Wouldn't you want to be just permanently set free? Huh? I do.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you, I love this stuff. So we created this universe which isn't real. This concept of a world and a universe that's not real. From then, the best that can be hoped for is that maybe we can approach closer to him. Or he, or she, or it. Or worship it better. But it's a metaphor for eternal separation. If there's something out there and it's outside you, there's eternal separation. There's no connection. That's why we never could make a connection. You can't make a connection with nothing. That's why it's never happened. And at best case scenario, the closest I ever got to God is when thunder went off in the woods. And that wasn't a good experience. Okay? That was the closest. So, all of life flows out from a place of timelessness. That's what will help you understand this. Everything, what you are, this unconditional love flows out from a place of timelessness. It's got no past or a future. It's got no past to judge anything by, because that's where all your judgment comes. It's got no future to worry about. They all come together. in this place of timelessness. So, does anyone awaken to this? Somebody wrote me. And I'm going to propose to you sort of a paradox about this that will help you. It's going to show you this isn't a work that you have to do. Okay? So does anybody awaken to all of what I've shared with you? This was a Facebook post that was presented to me. Since there is no self, there is no one who awakens or ascends. There is only the disappearing of that which dreamed a self existed. Okay? There's just the disappearing of the fact that dreamed a self existed. There is no one who rises. What's that mean? There's no prejudice. There's no hypocrisy. Everybody's the same. It's just the end of the dream. And that's what the whole weekend's been about, is awakening to the dream that there's no self. There's no separate person struggling through life, just out there with this cup on the street corner, barely making it by, okay? That person doesn't exist. So I want to end with reading a poem that Dana wrote. Robert, you're a good poem writer.
Thank
you. So's Dana. Mm-hmm. She wrote a poem like she does for every retreat. She said, there is a lie that the phantom has told to achieve its objective and be in control. We have been given a life, and in it we must live. To achieve its success, we must take and we must give. Within these days, right choices must be made. To experience its fullness, many prayers must be prayed. To receive it eternally and enjoy paradise, we must accept the idea that it was purchased at a price. The phantom spins his web. On the throne he does reign, creating an illusion, a false identity in the brain. Life consists of days numbered that are whittled away. It's called a lifetime, from the cradle to the grave. Duality has kept this sham alive. Individuality is its food that it needs to survive. Celebrating each life that is different from one another. One of a kind, its father uniqueness, its mother. Life cannot be controlled by the human race. It cannot be confined within time or space. It's not something to be lived with the number of days, or something maneuvered through like a mouse in a maze. It's not something that's given on a day of conception. It's not something that has vision in clarity or deception. It's not something that leaves with the final goodbye or extended with a prayer to a place on high. There's no you who can achieve and obtain. There's no you who can indulge and abstain. There's no you to exist through the days. There is no you to maneuver through this maze. If there is a you, what can there be? Only life that is completely and totally free, released from a prison of false identity, surrounded in the knowledge of true humility. Life is all there is. It's not seen with the human eye. It's beyond the depths of the ocean and as far reaches of the sky. It cannot be explained within the understanding of the human mind. Its total completeness cannot be grasped by mankind. Life, it's all there is, and all there will ever be. No me, no you, no us, no we. The I does not exist, and neither does the you. Life is all and in all, and that is the plain and simple truth.
Amen.
Thank you for that. That's so cute.
Thank you.
I love it.
Okay, everybody.
Thank you.
We'll be back tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. And I think, if you don't mind, Robert, I'm going to switch around with you so that you can close us out with some of your wit and humor. You're a good closer, by the way.
Thank you.
So I'm going to go at 10, and Robert's going to go at 11:15 tomorrow. And we're going to have lunch again. And goodbye, everybody out there in Ustream land. We love you.
Love you.
There's a lot of people here that know you. Sally's here. Miranda's here. LaVon's here. Beth and Steve are here. Connie's here. Kent's here. Robert's here. Goodbye, everybody.